good morning, family. It's great to be with each other on this beautiful Lord's Day. As we mentioned at one point in the service today, one of the things we're really looking forward to is getting back into the church building, worshiping God together, and that seems to be something that's going to happen quite in the very near future. So we're looking forward to that. I would encourage you this morning to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be looking at four verses there in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. As we all know, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and these customary holidays seem to take on a unique significance during the days of this COVID-19 pandemic. But Memorial Day is a day in which we're called to remember those who have fought for our freedom and died in war. We should all have a deep respect for those who made the ultimate sacrifice on the battlefield. And it's also a time that we can recognize that the price of freedom is always high. I believe very strongly in that patriotic message. But I also believe there's a greater spiritual message for us today. And that is that our freedom in Jesus Christ was also paid at a great cost. And it's even easy for us as Christians to take too lightly the blessings that we have that were bought with blood. And so remembering sacrifices made that bring freedom for our country, but even more for our soul, is a good thing. Think about it. The freedom we have in Christ, freedom from our fears, freedom from the slavery to sin, freedom from empty living, and freedom from, ultimately, eternal doom. These are all things that are worth remembering and definitely worth celebrating, which we do every Lord's Day, and as Christians, we do each and every day as we remember the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What I want to do today is I want to talk about you going even further in this concept of memorial by you offering your body as a memorial to God. The Bible calls it holiness. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says that we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Now, another way of looking at this memorial is that you are remembering who you are before God and how then that should shape your holy living before Him. Holiness is the objective, and the mind is the key to achieving that objective. Here's what we're going to do this morning as we think about this text here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Here is how you remember who you are in this life using your mind. It involves the preparation of your mind, the separation of your mind, and the consecration of your mind, as we see this here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. So let's begin this morning with the idea of the preparation of your mind. The text tells us here, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" God takes the issue of holiness very seriously, and He presents it here in this passage in a very bold manner. He comes right out and says, "Be holy, for I am holy." But in verse 13, God says that it all starts in our mind. There is a preparation of your mind, a separation of your mind, and then a concentration of your mind. In your mind, you need to remember who you are before God. So what He's saying in this concept of girding up the loins of your mind, this is the idea of preparing your mind for action, getting your mind ready to act upon the holiness that God wants to see in your life. Your holiness before God, living your life as a memorial before God, requires a certain mindset. If you want to be holy, you need to begin by thinking holy. It takes a different mind because living in this world really doesn't require a deliberate mindset. We use the expression today, going with the flow. And if you're operating on the basis that the world does, you're just going with the flow. You're just conforming to what you see as far as the behavior and the way of thinking that we look at in the world. It takes a different mindset to live the way God wants you to live. You know, conforming is obviously something that is much easier than transforming. You just go with the flow. But being transformed means that you sometimes, maybe many times, you're going to go against the flow, and it will require from you intentional thought instead of just operating on autopilot. Intentional thought here, again, is capitalized in this phrase, girding up the loins. This really is a wonderful, meaningful metaphor that meant a lot to those in the first century Christians. Back then, they would wear these long robes. As you see, the robes would hang down all the way to their ankles, really even kind of be in a tight circle around their ankles, and it made it hard for them then when you wanted to run or when you wanted to fight or you wanted to do anything. Yeah, I guess the modern day equivalent for us today would be these, you know, the young people that wear these sagging pants, you know, that show their underwear. And if you'll ever notice, sometimes they wear those pants so low that the crotch of the pants actually is about at the kneecaps. And so thinking about, and it's funny because sometimes you see videos of these guys wearing these baggy pants and they've committed a crime and they're trying to run from the cops, right? And they're just falling all over the place, and maybe it's a good thing this is what he's talking about here. Men would wear these belts then, as you see in the picture here, around their waist so that then they could reach down, pull up the end of the rope and tuck it in their belt, and they would be able to run or fight or whatever they needed to do. And so this was up the loins. This idea expressed here is the idea then of girding up the loins of your mind. It means preparing your mind for action, being mentally prepared to fight, to run, or whatever it takes to be holy for the Lord. You're not going to find yourself accidentally living the way God wants you to live. You see, if you were to go about it the way of just kind of going with the flow or just doing whatever comes natural, then you might, with no forethought, no preparation of mind, you're going to end up just going with the flow, conforming to the world. You need to prepare your mind to live differently than the world around you and holy before God. Holiness involves preparation of the mind, and it means that you're going to get your mind ready for action, that you'll be different than all the garbage that's going on around you in the world. That brings me to my next point. We're going to get our minds ready for action, but as we do that, we're also going to need to get the garbage out of our minds, out of our lives. Every day, what happens is, as you live in this world, you're going to see various things. There's going to be hundreds of events and images that come into your mind that attempt to influence the way that you think. The human mind really is like a computer that basically stores up these images. The memory in a computer was actually first called gigabytes. And it might interest you to know that that word, a term, giggle, G-I-G-O, stands for garbage in, garbage out. And see, that's the way your mind works. If you keep garbage images on file in your head, then that garbage that you take in will eventually come out in your life. If you're not careful, you're going to find yourself being influenced by the word or by the world instead of the word. So what we need to do is get the garbage out, and we need to get the word in. And that's my next point. If you're going to have a prepared mind, you need to get into the Word of God. you're not going to really be able to do much about the fact that you live in the world and that you're exposed to the images that are the world. And so you need to spend as much time as you can in the Word to filter out the garbage in the world. You know, there's a song that we sing. Maybe only some of us that are older can identify with this song. But you remember the song, our songbooks, Take Time to Be Holy. That's a very important idea as you live in the world, to take time to be holy. And in that song, there's a line that says there, it says, feed on His Word. It says, the world rushes on. Oh, yes, the world is rushing on. They're in a hurry. They're on a fast pace. And it says, well, put the brakes on. Take time, instead of rushing with the world, to feed on His Word. Holiness before God begins in your mind. And so you need to gird up the loins of your mind, preparing your mind for action. Get your mind ready for action. Get the garbage out. Get the Word in so that you can prepare your mind to be holy for the Lord. So there's the first part of this is the preparation of the mind. Now as we continue to look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, I want to talk about the separation of your mind. In verse 13 it says there that you need to be sober, which involves having sound judgment and spiritual discernment. We need to have a deliberate mindset that separates us from, as it says in verse 14, the former conduct that we were involved in, our former lust, our ignorance that we were all tripped up in, as it says there in verse 14. And it involves sober thinking. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. When you think of the word sober, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? You think about somebody who is living without alcohol in their system. Someone, the idea of not being drunk. A certain degree of alcohol in your system, whatever that might be, for some people it's a little higher, a little lower, but a certain degree of alcohol in your system is going to become for you a mind-altering substance. And so if you're living for God, you're going to want to separate your mind from anything that will prevent it from performing on a level that God would have you to live, that would honor God. So being sober allows you then to function freely and effectively for God. Keep your mind free from any outside substance then that interferes with you living the holy life that you were meant to live. The word holy is a word that means separate in its basic form. To be holy means to be separate. And you being separate from the world requires a separation of your mind. And this again is the idea of sound judgment and good spiritual discernment. I want to talk about sound judgment for just a minute. To maintain holiness, what you have to do is you have to keep a straight head in all of the clutter that's going on around us. Intoxication causes you to lose your ability to reason. You lose a proper perspective and you become a person that is ruled by your emotions rather than sound judgment. And that's why, of course, it's very dangerous to drink and drive. Yet when you're drinking and driving, you're not capable of making good decisions quickly and with precision that you need to so that, of course, you don't get into an accident. And, you know, even mind-altering thoughts and emotions beyond the actual alcohol can get us into a lot of trouble. And so you have to take every thought or emotion that comes into your mind and then compare it with the Word of God. Let me show you what I mean in a passage over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Worldly thoughts can be quite powerful. And so we're in this world and we are coming up against worldly thinking, and it's going to be a battle. It's going to be tough. And so listen to what Paul says to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they are mighty in God. The key there, in God. Spiritual thoughts, you see. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Picture it this way. You need to be sort of a spiritual highway cop. When it comes to the traffic of thoughts that go zooming through your mind at a constant rate all the time, because you live in this world, there are convincing arguments from the devil as to why you should do things other than the things that God wants you to do. And these thoughts in the text here are called high thoughts. That is, these are thoughts that are trying to be higher than God's thoughts. And God says you need to prevail or rule over those thoughts, and you need to take them captive. So these are high thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Now see, when you look at this passage, and if you've been following us on Wednesday nights as we've been talking about spiritual warfare, you begin to see that this battle is very real. And it is a battle that is won spiritually in the mind. And so as a highway cop, you need to then put those thoughts under arrest. That is, make a citizen's arrest, a Christian's arrest. Put those thoughts under arrest, and then he says, throw them into captivity. That is, throw them into jail. Put them in prison. And then, when they're there, make those thoughts obey Christ. That's what he says at the end in verse 5. Make those thoughts obey Christ. You're not going to defeat Satan if you fight with him using any other thing than a sober mind and spiritual engagement in this battle. You need the preparation of your mind, and you also need the separation of your mind. And then finally, going back to our text in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, there is the concentration of your mind. And the concentration needed to be holy is described in the second part of verse 13, where he says, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be revealed or brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, to do anything well, you need to have a focus. I want to talk about that for a minute. In fact, your focus, if it's intense enough, it is going to leave you undeterred from other things. Have you ever watched small children play t-ball? I always enjoyed doing that when my kids were that age. They'd get out on the field, they'd play t-ball. And I remember watching my daughter play. You know, kids, when they're playing t-ball, they don't know the rules perfectly. And a lot of times, they only do what they're told at the moment. And so you get your toddler up there, the t-ball is set up, you know, and they're ready to bat. And they're thinking of one thing. The focus is what? To hit the ball. That's what they're going to focus on. And boy, they need to make sure that bat is in the right place and everything, and they want to smack it as hard as they can. Their whole focus is on hitting the ball. And a lot of times, if you really were to ask them at that moment, what's the next thing, they might even say, I don't know, I just want to hit the ball. And then what's the next thing? From the stands, you hear all the people, run, run. Oh, I hit the ball, that's great. Now the next thing, I got to run. And so you go, you know, they're running on there, and you're even pointing them in the direction they should run, to first base, right? And you know what you have at first base? You've got a first base coach. And that first base coach is guiding their focus. Here, run to this little white thing on the square on the ground. That's where you want to run. And then what are they doing? They're saying, turn left, and they're telling the child, go left, right? Well, guess what? There's a little problem in T-ball, and I experienced this with my daughter. There's not a second base coach. And so when my daughter, she hit the ball, focused on that, focus on running, focus on first base, focus on making that turn, focus on second base, but there was no more focus after that. She kept running out into the outfield, just running and running. I mean, buildings could have been falling down all around her, helicopters landing on the playing field there. She was just focused on running. She didn't know where she was running, but she had a focus. You have to admire the benefit of focus. It's important. And what we're doing is, as Christians, what are we focusing on? We're focusing on the grace that's going to appear one day when Jesus returns. That grace that we have now, that's going to be even a more amazing grace when Jesus returns. The concentration that we have is on Jesus Christ and the hope that He brings. The grace that He's going to be bringing to us is the gift of salvation, which of course we understand we don't deserve that at all. It's something that we've not earned. It's something we cannot earn. It's the goodness of God given to us, not because we are good, but because He is good. Our hope is in His goodness, not our own. Now I want to talk about the outcome of all this, the fruit of it. You know, we've talked about the focus, we talked about the future, now the fruit of our holiness. This is where we get back to what we really want to accomplish as the people of God in our efforts to be holy. So Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. He says, "As He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." The fruit of our efforts in holiness is to glorify God. We need to remember who we are, and that's what brings value to living holy in a very unholy world. We are holy as He is holy. You cannot be holy on your own. You can't manufacture holiness or make holiness. What do we end up making as flawed human beings in this world? Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, there's the works of the flesh and what? The fruit of the Spirit. That's what you make, the works of the flesh. That's what you produce. That's what you manufacture. The only thing that you make is works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit, though, is produced by the Spirit in you. It comes out of a life that is submitted to the Holy Spirit, and that's how, through the Holy Spirit, we have holiness in our lives. But what I wanted to stress this morning is that holiness starts in the mind. Holiness involves a preparation of the mind, a separation of the mind, and a concentration of the mind. And so, while you remember sacrifices on tomorrow, Memorial Day, you remember the great sacrifices made by service members, remember the sacrifice that you need to make to God. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 that you have been made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so as we close this morning, are you and is your life a memorial before God? Have you first of all been made holy through Jesus Christ by coming to Him for salvation? When we decide that we want in and we want eternal life and we want to be holy before God, it's coming to Christ is how we begin that process, accepting that He is the Son of God, willing to repent of our sins and be baptized and have those sins washed away. We begin that new life and we can live our lives as a memorial before God. And my second question is then, in your life as a Christian, are you maintaining your holiness before God? Girding up the loins of your mind, being sober and vigilant, and resting your hope fully upon the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I hope this message has been encouraging for you today, and you'll enjoy your Memorial Day, and to God be the glory in all that we do.